Dave said he's encouraged and he's excited to hear from the Word of God. And normally I would say that's true. And I am too. But I'm sat there thinking it's incredible. You see, we haven't spoken until literally 10 minutes before the service. And it's amazing how God is God and the way he just draws everything in unity together. And Andy didn't know what I was speaking on until about 10 minutes before he started. But the theme of the worship songs echoes what I felt I ought to bring. And Dave was saying he's going to lead communion, and the stuff that he was bringing out in communion echoes some of the things that I felt I wanted to bring. So it's great to know that you're on God's page, God's agenda, and God's got it all in hand. Because sometimes, I don't know whether you're the same as me, you worry. Has God got it in hand? And does he know what he's doing? And do I know what he's doing? And will he let me know that he knows what he's doing? And you kind of get a bit uptight and worried and concerned. And at the end of the day, yeah, God does know. Anyway, it's great to be able to share with you this morning and sort of open up the scriptures together. We've been doing a series, haven't we, that concluded the other week about the Beatitudes. And you said to me, could I speak today? Do what you like. And that's always a dangerous thing to let me loose. But I was thinking, I've got a real sense I know what God wants us to say this morning. And it's all about knowing God. And do we really know him? How can we really know him? What happens when we know him? And I was thinking, how can I link that back to the Beatitudes? And I was just sat there and I thought, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why are people wanting to be poor in spirit? Why do people want to mourn for the sins of their lives? Why do people want to be meek? Why do people want to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Why do they want to show mercy? Why do they want to be pure in heart? Why do they want to be peacemakers? Why do they go through persecution and suffering? And I really sense it's because they know God. They just know that there is something about this Saviour, there is something about this God that they've grasped, that they've tapped into, that they've sort of engaged with, that really resonates within them, that enables them to be the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And I thought that's a really good platform to go from, really. I don't know about you, when I was little, and even to today, although I must admit sometimes it wanes a little bit when I get older, and things crowd in. But you know, it was a real desire in my heart to make my life count for something. Do you have that same desire? You know, I've got a real fear, I suppose, in one sense, of just drifting through life, getting to the end of my life, looking back and going, well, what did I achieve? What did I accomplish? What did I do? Did I make my life count? Will people remember me in 5, 10, 50 years' time? And I've got a real desire to make my life count and to see an impact. You know, God has placed you and he's placed me here, not just so that we could live 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever length of time we might be given, but he's put us here to make an impact, to make a change in this world for his kingdom and his glory. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and say, that was great, I had a great time. I want to do like Bear Grylls said, you know, when he gets to the glory gates of heaven, he wants to come rushing into heaven with arms and legs flailing, going, wow, what a breeze of a life I had. God, here I am. Look what I've accomplished in your name. And how do I do that? It's by knowing God. Because once you know God, you have a purpose, you have a desire, you have a drive, you have a determination to actually do things that you know you, in the natural, you wouldn't normally do. And this morning I want to base what I'm saying around Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11, 32 says, the people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God will be strong. Because I don't know about you, I often feel weak. I often feel inadequate. I often feel empty. But as I know God, I will be strong. And when I am strong, then the sky's the limit. You can achieve great exploits. You can do amazing things. And you might look and say, well, that's all right for them. You know, when Daniel penned that, we know he was a mighty man of God, a mighty man of prayer. We know that Daniel was blessed of the Lord. But do you know what? Daniel penned that verse in a time of trouble, in a time of turbulence, in a time of exile, in a time of oppression, in a time of potential depression. He penned that play, that words, that as he knew God, he could be strong and he could do great exploits in a place in the natural looked totally opposite to what he was writing. And sometimes you and I can be in that place, can't we? We feel totally inadequate, totally empty, totally missing the mark. And how can I, little old me, do great things for God? Because I am not strong, I'm not mighty, I am not adequate in any way. But it was birthed in that time of turmoil. Just a few chapters before, you might remember those who know Daniel, the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 3. We've got three gentlemen there, friends of Daniel's, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Okay, what happened to them? They stood up for righteousness. They ended up in a fiery furnace. In that fiery furnace, they met with one who looked like the Son of Man. And when they were brought out of that fiery furnace, Daniel recalls that actually a revival broke out across the land. Great things happened. In fact, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, who had put them in the fiery furnace, said, do you know what? Their God must be the one true God. So I want my entire kingdom to worship the same God. Revival broke out. People's lives were changed. Communities were changed. And Daniel, a little bit later, was put in the lion's den. And why did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego face the fiery furnace and Daniel face the lions? Because they knew God. They didn't know the outcome. They didn't know whether they'd survive the furnace. They didn't know whether they'd survive the lion's den. But they said, it doesn't matter if I don't come through. I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I trust, and I will believe and trust that even if my God does not deliver me, he will use this for his greater glory and for his greater good. What a place to be. But it's because they knew God. So how do we today know God? How do we know him? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And yet there are many people out there searching and searching and asking the questions of life. Who is God? Is there a God? Is there a Redeemer? Is there someone who put everything together? Is there someone who controls everything? Is there someone who's kind of pulling the strings behind history? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 these words. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God can reveal himself and still reveals himself through creation. And there's been a real challenge over the last 200 years about creation. Darwinism has sprung up, humanism has sprung up. Scientology, scientific explanation has sprung up. But God still says, I reveal myself through what I've created. When you stand on a starry night and look up in the stars, into the skies and look at the stars, what happens in your heart? What happens? For me, there's something that just says, wow, look at the majesty, look at the grandeur, look at the expanse, look at the beauty. And part of that is just responding to God and saying, oh, there's a creator who made that. This didn't happen by chance. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that through all scripture is God-breathed. God reveals himself through scripture. He reveals himself through his written word. He reveals himself through his spoken word. He reveals himself through his prophets. He reveals himself from those who, dare I say, stand on a Sunday and speak and teach and direct and lead from the word of God, from worship, from leading and pulling things together. God reveals himself through the spoken and written word. Matthew 11:27 says, no one, Jesus was speaking and he said, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one can come to the Father except through the Son. We can only know God if we know Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, we can't know God. We can't know the Creator. We can't know the Sustainer. We can't know the one who will transform our lives in its entirety. We won't know him without knowing Jesus and without knowing what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished for us. And as we've heard it today and we've shared communion, haven't we, through the cross, that Jesus bled and died and gave his life. Unless we come to that point of saying, I recognize that, you gave yourself for me, we will never know God. We can search, we can try to find him, we can look in every place possible, but without knowing Jesus, we will never find him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12 says that we know God through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit testifies with our spirit that he is alive. We need the Holy Spirit within us to guide us, to direct us, to speak to us, to lift us up, to challenge us, to bring us into God's presence. And we allow the Holy Spirit to really get a grip of our lives and to move within us. Do you know what? We start on a journey. We start to hear things that we don't normally hear. When you allow the Spirit of God to get within you and to pick you up and to bring you into God's presence, because the Spirit lives in God's presence and the Spirit lives within you when you're born again, and he brings the two together, when you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into God's presence, you will begin to hear things you don't normally hear. You might be going on your journey of life and suddenly you'll hear a voice and it'll say, Eric, do this. Eric, say that. And you'll go, where did that come from? What does that mean? But as you're faithful and speak that out, you suddenly begin to realize that God is working within you and God is transforming you and God is transforming people's lives and circumstances. One of my desires is to see a greater move of the Holy Spirit, to see the gifts of the Spirit released. And until we get that into that presence of knowing God closer, knowing God better, I don't think those gifts will flow. But when we start to be in God's presence, we'll start to receive the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, the prophetic words, the utterances, the things that are on God's heart and God's mind for not only people within here, but the people outside there as well. I really have a challenge in my life this year to see God break out in the streets, in the workplaces, in the circumstances that I walk in outside of church. I tell you what, God's put me on the spot two or three times already this year, and unfortunately, I haven't had the courage to stand up and do it yet. I've got a real sense that God wants to bring healing into the workplace. And funnily enough, in the last 3 weeks, I've had three separate people come to me and explain to me illnesses and problems and difficulties. And my heart's been racing. You know what it's like when the Spirit of God's moving? Your heart starts to race, your palms start to sweat. And there's a real sense of, I know God's in this. I know what I need to do. And you've got to stand up and be counted. And unfortunately, so far, I haven't. But I've got a real sense that by the end of the year, I'm going to start to stand up and be counted. Because I want my life to be counted. I don't want God to say, I gave you the chance, what did you do with it? And I went, I was too scared, I was too frightened. Because if I know my God, I will be strong and I will do. And if you know your God, you will be strong. And you will do. And every time I say that, I know God's going to open the door. He's going to put me to the test. He's going to give me an opportunity. And I'm, by his grace, I'm going to be at there. I'm going to get there. As we allow the Spirit of God to lift us, we not only hear things we wouldn't normally hear, we see things we wouldn't normally see. You can be walking down the street and you can pass somebody for time after time after time after time, and suddenly you pass by them this time, and God does something in his spirit, and you see them in a different light. You see a need on their life. You see something that they're going through. There's something that you just God reveals to you that you see about them that needs the touch of God. You see something. You might be working in your workplace and suddenly you see the people, why they react in the way they react, because God's just opened your eyes in the spirit to see why they react the way they do. And then he'll give you the keys to help them. They won't know that it's God necessarily, but you will, because you'll see things in a different way. The Spirit reveals them to you. As you allow God to move, we begin to feel things we wouldn't normally feel. You know, you can be walking along, you can be wrapped up in what you're doing, and suddenly you'll see somebody, you'll get a sense of compassion, a sense of overwhelming desire to do something about something for somebody. Kindness might break out in your life, something, but there's a real sense of feeling breaks out. It's the Spirit of God working within us. When we allow the Spirit to lift us, we would say things we wouldn't normally say. We begin to have a boldness to open our mouths. You know, there's a boldness on Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. I don't think they planned to stand up in front of all the satraps and all the governors and the king and say, do you know what, I'm not bowing down to your idol. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to trust in God. I don't think they planned it. It just happened. And so when they were in that position, they stood up with the boldness and they spoke out that they trusted in God. They knew God and would deliver them. If he didn't deliver them, it didn't matter, because they knew God. They knew their destiny. They knew where they were going. And so they spoke those things that they hadn't been speaking before, and you can do the same when you allow the Spirit to lift you. Or as we allow the Spirit to lift us, we experience the things we wouldn't normally experience. And linked with that, we do the things we wouldn't normally do. It's worth getting to know God, isn't it? And God gives us chances through creation, through his scriptures, through the revelation of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But Jeremiah 9 says this, but let him who glories in this, glory in the fact that he understands and knows me, says the Lord. You can do as many exploits, you can do as many great things, you can be, see, hear, do, feel, experience, everything that you like, but unless you really know who God is and are connected into God, in God's sight, it doesn't really count for a great deal. Colossians 1:10 says, lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. It must be one in which we are continually increasing in the knowledge of God. Is that what's happening with your life? Is that what's happening with my life? Is there an increase daily, weekly, monthly, yearly? Knowing God. So when we get to know God, and we know how we know God, what happens when we get to know this God? I've been reading, or I haven't been reading, should I say, I've been listening to the Bible read to me. I bought some CDs for Christmas, and when I go to work, I put a CD in. I get an hour-ish travelling to Lincoln every day, and I listen to the Word of God being read out. And I tell you what, it's brought a different experience and dynamism to me than just reading it myself. And I was listening through that most brilliant part of the book that we often read, and I'm sure you read it as often as I do, you know, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Kings. And I was going through this thinking, God, I am so bored with this. What is going on? And I was thinking, well, God, I might be bored with this, but you've put it in the scripture, so why is it there? And every so often, as I was listening to Chronicles in particular being read, little things just broke out like that. Bang, like little fireworks going off. And I thought, wow, oops, sorry. unless that was a hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, then I'm not sorry in the slightest. But yeah, and there were some great little things that came out of there. And I thought, this is also linked into knowing God. You know, 1 Chronicles 27:33. You can quote it to me, I'm sure you can. It says, Hushai the Archite was a friend of the king. Now, that little verse appears in a whole list of stuff about King David and the kings. And it says, so-and-so was an architect, so-and-so was a builder, so-and-so was the purveyor of fine perfumes, so-and-so was a warrior, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. And suddenly it says, Hushai the Archite was a friend of the king. End of story. What a place to be. He was known not because of what he did or what he was able to bring to the society and the community. He was known because he knew the king. He was a friend of the king. Nothing else mattered. Nothing more was needed. The challenge to us today, I think, is do you know, do I know the King? Do you or I know the Almighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven and earth? Do we know him, and can we be called a friend of the King? And if we can be called a friend of the King, nothing else matters. You are a friend of the King, just like Hushai the Archite was. End of story, complete. You don't need to prove yourself in any way. You're not saved by works. You're saved by knowing the King. Do you know King Jesus this morning? You didn't know Chronicles was so exciting, did you? 2 Chronicles 15:7. God comes. There's a real sense of fear gripping the people. The armies of Israel were being challenged by one of the armies of the day, and they were fearful, they were afraid, and God steps in and he says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." So, do you know who you're serving today? Do you know who you're serving, and therefore do you know what the outcome is of your service? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving your family? Are you serving your employer? Are you serving an idol that has become established in your life, that's got control over your life? Are you serving something that is demanding, 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 but always taking and never giving? Or are you serving the risen Lord? Are you serving the kingdom of God? Are you serving the eternal purposes of God? For it's only those things that will stand. It's only those things that are worth investing in. It's only those things that will endure forever. It's only those things that will bring a reward. Who are you serving today? And what is the reward? If you know God, you want to serve God. If you know him and know his agenda and know his heart and know his desire and his presence, You just long to serve him. You just want to serve him. You just want to be in his presence. You just want to be like the angel Gabriel, who's, when he was asked, "What do you do?" he said, "I stand in God's presence." That's all he needed to do. And he was there waiting for God to say, "Just do this for me." And he went, "Yeah, yeah, send me, send me." Isaiah the prophet had a revelation, didn't he? Of heaven. And God was talking to his angels and talking in the heavenly host, and he was saying, "We've got a task to do. Who can we send?" And here's little Isaiah, human as he was, going, "Me, me, 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 send me, send me, send me." Because he wanted to serve the Lord. Have you seen it? Oh, Steve, you'll have seen it in school. We ask a question and they're like that. "Sir, sir, sir, me, 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 me. I know the answer. Tell me, me, me." Are we like that with God? God's got so much for us to do. Are we like that? "God, send me, 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 me. Lord, Lord, please, 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 please. I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. Let me." Or are we like that? "Send somebody else. I've got a lot to do, Lord. Don't you know how much I'm doing?" Do we know who we serve, and do we know the outcome? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's." Okay? Do you know who holds ultimate authority? The people of Israel were afraid. They were on the verge of going into exile and being destroyed. And God turns up and he says, "Don't be afraid. This isn't your battle. Yeah, you might be there, but this is not your battle. This is my battle. And I've never lost yet. He never has lost yet. He never will lose. Because he holds all authority, all power, all dominion. Sit in his hands." And do you know God has all authority? You know, it's easy, isn't it, when things are going well? But when things are a little bit difficult, do you know God's got all authority? I've walked with Sharon and Ian. through the 2 and a bit years. And I know that they've known God's got the authority, because they've told me that when they were first told, there was a real sense of peace. A real sense of peace. And God almost saying, I've got this sorted. I've got this sorted. Daniel 11 was not written in an easy time. It was written in a time of persecution and hardship, but it was still written. Do you know who holds all authority? And if you do, then you do not become afraid. Yes, the enemy may try to scare you. Yes, the enemy may try and put you down. Yes, the enemy might try and rattle their saber and yell all kinds of things at you and try and make you feel this little. But do you know what? At the end of the day, if you know who holds the authority, it doesn't matter what the enemy says, because you don't listen to the enemy. You only listen to the one you know. And the one you know holds all authority and power and dominion forever and forever. Amen. 1 Chronicles, ultimate. Oh yeah, 11, verses 12 to 14. There's a story there of David and Eleazar, one of David's mighty men. And it says that they took their stand in the middle of the barley field. Everybody else deserted them, but they took their stand, because they knew their destiny. The Philistine army was coming against them. All the other armies of Israel ran away. But they went, do you know what? God has called me to be king. God has called me to rule this people. God has called me to rule this land. And he said, don't matter how many they are, I know my destiny. I know God's got this in hand. And they took their stand. Do you know your destiny today? Do you know your destiny? God knows your destiny. And if you're drifting through life thinking, you know, I hope I can get from day to day, God's got so much more for you than that. You don't need to drift. You don't need to be aimlessly wandering. You don't need to be hoping that your dreams and your desires come through. You can connect in to the living God. He can reveal his plans, his purposes. He doesn't necessarily show you the whole picture. He might show you one step at a time, but he will reveal you. He will take you by the hand. He will walk you through into your destiny. But you've got to know him to be able to know that you've got a destiny, to be able to know that he knows the outcome, and to know that that outcome is a good, pleasing and prosperous outcome for you. Do you know him in that way? Do you know that he has the destiny? Do you know the king? Do you know who to serve and what the outcome of your service is? Do you know who holds ultimate authority? And do you know your destiny today? I've got a real sense that if we really grasp those things, that we would change. We would change. What would our prayer life look like if we knew, if we really knew that God heard our prayers and answered them? What would our prayer life look like? Would it be like mine that so often is, oh, Lord, help me in this situation. Oh, God, bless that situation. Oh, God, do this now. And you kind of run in, quickly say it and run out of God's presence. Because there's a real sense of, yes, I know God's there and God hears me, but there isn't that real sense that God hears me and God wants to answer. What would our prayer life look like if we knew? What would our evangelism be like if we knew that God was serious about heaven and hell? If we knew the cost of the crucifixion? We've celebrated communion, but do we really know the cost of crucifixion? We know the cost to the Father of being totally separated from his Son for the first time in eternity. And if we get to know God, he'll reveal a little bit of that to us. And if we get to understand the price he paid, what would our evangelism be like to our friends, our family, our work colleagues? What would our words be like if we knew God would back them up? If we knew God was an active listener in our conversations, how would we change what we speak, what we say, how we say it, the tone, the way? What would our community look like if we as a people knew our God? What would our community look like? Because if we know our God, we will be strong and we will do exploits or great exploits or amazing things. What would our community look like? What changes can we bring? Because we're spending time with the King, getting to know his heart, his mind, his purposes, knowing that he will reveal them to us. He then equips us for that. He enables us to achieve. He doesn't set us up for a fall. He wants us to succeed. What great exploits might we carry out if we knew God? Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego walked in a fiery furnace. Daniel slept with lions. Peter walked on water. Elisha raised the dead. What can we say about you? What can we say about you or me? If we as a people know our God, we will be strong and we will achieve and we will do great exploits. This morning, I just want to lay two challenges before us. First of all, do you know? David shared it a little bit earlier on about Jesus questioning the Pharisees. Whose son is this? Who is Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that he is the Saviour of the world? Do you know that he is the Lord of Lords? Do you know that he wants a personal friendship, a personal relationship with you? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him this morning? If you don't know him, there is opportunity to know him. There is an opportunity to begin your journey with Jesus. And I tell you what, if you start that journey with him, it will be a journey that will make you go places you've never been before, see things you've never seen before, hear things you've never heard before, experience things you've never experienced before, and do things you've never done before. And it may be difficult, it may be scary, it may be hard work, but at the end of the day, it's the most awesome, fantastic, amazing place to be, is in relationship with God, walking with him, seeing him work in your life, through your life, impacting other people's lives, changing your life and theirs, and at the end of the day, turning around and going into his presence and seeing him face to face and him saying, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Now come and enjoy everything I've got built up for you in heaven." You can meet him today. The second I want to lay out, though, is, are you equipped? Are you equipped? I don't know about you, but I want to do great exploits. Not so that I can boast in what I've done, but so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. People's lives can be changed. People's circumstances can be altered. But I don't feel equipped. But today, God is in our midst to say, right, you might not feel equipped, but you know what? As you come to me, I will equip you. I will enable you. I will take you from where you are onto the next step and the next step and the next step. And I don't know where it's going to end, but I tell you what, it's a journey that I want to take. Do you? Andy, Irene, John, Rachel, I always get those 2 minutes to talk. I don't know why. Rachel, Shirley, if you could come back, please. This morning, God's just been weaving. I don't know if you've seen it, noticed it, heard it, felt it, but God's just been weaving through the whole service, hasn't he? This whole aspect of knowing him, knowing that the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. We sang that in some of the songs. We sang some of the other songs as well about not being afraid and being discouraged, but leading us on into victory. God's just been weaving things together this morning. As they come, they're going to lead us in a final song. But I want us to take up two challenges. First of all, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, or if you have and you're not walking with him as closely as you know you should, today is your opportunity to come back, to receive him for the first time, or to come back to him. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you on that journey. I want to give you opportunity to come and respond as this morning as the band and Andy leads us. But secondly, maybe you're like me, you're saying, yeah, I want to do, I know God, I know him as best I can at the moment, and I'll get to know him more. But I want to do greater things. I want to be equipped for more. I want to be equipped to do the exploits. I don't want to just be satisfied with drifting through my life, being a good little Christian and doing the things I need to do. I want to be one who actually rattles the gates of hell. I want to be one who tears down strongholds. I want to be one who establishes things for the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. I want to see people's lives totally transformed. I want to be ripped open and laid bare and said, God, do with me whatever you want me to do in the way that you want me to do it. I am willing to do that. If you're there or if you want to be that person, we want to pray for you too. Because I want to see things begin to happen from today onwards in our society, in our workplaces, in our community, that no longer are happy with the status quo, but get people standing up in the spirit and then physically as well going, enough is enough. This area has been oppressed, depressed, repressed, pushed down, shaken under and established down here for so long. Let's start to see men and women of God who start to break out and say, no, enough is enough. I want to see the kingdom of God established. I want to see the rule and reign of God established. And God, whatever it is, whatever it takes, use me, please. And if you want to be one of those people, then again, we want to pray for you as well. And don't just do it for the sake of doing it. Because I tell you what, I'm going to ask David. He's going to put it out in his diary. And in a few months' time, he's going to challenge me on this as well. A few months' time, I want him to say to us, okay, so what have you done? Okay, what have you done? And instead of saying, Daniel slept with lions, Peter walked on water, Elisha raised the dead, I want us to be saying, Katie prayed for a lame person and they walked. I want to see Steve saying that I led 5 people to Christ in the last week alone. I want to come back and hear people say, in my workplace, Lynn was able to pray for a deaf lady and she was instantly healed at the tills. I want to hear stories of us. Instead of reading the scriptures and saying, wasn't that great in the scriptures? I want it to be exploits done from within us. Okay? And I know God, Dad's going to challenge me because I'll be the first one, no doubt, on his list. All right? And he's put in 2 months today. He's put it, hey, that's even tighter. I didn't say two, but that's the... We're going for 2 months today then, eh? Okay. This morning, do you know God? Do you really know him? If you really know him, you will be strong. And you will do exploits. Shall we stand? What can we change in our community? Shirley, what can be changed in the world? Because you have said, here am I. Send me. People's lives. You see, Shirley's got a vision for the world. Certainly parts of it, Australia, Indonesia. But it's the world vision. But it's took Shirley to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. It took a step of faith, a step of boldness. Not knowing the beginning from the end. But she's done it. And God takes her, even now, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year into Australia, Indonesia, Southeast Asia. God might not be calling you to do such a revolutionary big thing. But then again, he might be. How do you know if you don't listen to him and spend time with him? But he might just be calling you to have that conversation with your neighbour over the fence. He might be asking you to say a little prayer at work with someone who's feeling down, feeling a little bit lost, a little bit lonely. Maybe he's asking you to send a card to someone that just says, you know, I'm thinking of you, I want to encourage you. That's a great exploit. If someone's feeling down and depressed and lonely, that's a great exploit. This morning, God's looking for people who know their God and are willing to say. Can you remember a few years ago, the Chinese Tiananmen Square, where many Chinese students met together, unhappy about the oppression of communism? And there was a little phrase that went round that square that was reportedly went round that made many of them stand in the face of tyranny and in the face of injustice. And it said, "If not you, who? If not now, when?" For this generation and for this people, God is saying to us today, saying to me, and I believe he's saying to you, "If not you, who? And if not now, when?" Let's be people who say, "Yes, it's me, and yes, it's now." As the band plays and leads us, if you want to give your life to Christ, come and we'll pray with you and we'll talk with you and we'll explain a little bit more about that and lead you into that exciting new walk. But if you want to be greater equipped, because you just know that God's calling you to do something bigger, something bolder, something stronger, something more, we'll pray for you too. You come and we'll pray for you.